sex and can affect various organs. While it's more frequently in poor countries, disease rates still remain unacceptable high in developed countries and appear to be increasing at the present, especially in some population, as you know, in female sex worker and in MSM. The consequences of high disease rates include the high incidence of complication and long-term morbidity, as well as increased HIV transmission. The untreated gonorrhea may result in several complications such as pelvic inflammatory disease, infertility, ectopic pregnancy, epididymo, orchitis, and disseminated gonococcal infections. Antibiotic resistance increasingly compromises effective treatment of gonorrhea, and inexpensive treatment regimens have been rendered ineffective while efficacious ones are often unaffordable. The syndromic management of STI for gonorrhea in women has very low sensitivity, which hinders proper diagnosis and treatment. The temptation to use ineffective but cheaper treatment must be resisted. It is necessary to demonstrate the benefit of appropriate quality treatment for gonorrhea. This will require continuing high-quality susceptibility surveillance. The effective treatment is a cornerstone of Latin America gonorrhea control efforts, but treatment of gonorrhea has been complicated by the ability to NG to develop antimicrobial resistance. As Patricia Galarza yesterday shared this slide, as you can see, the resistance to Cipro is very high in Argentina. In 2011, it's 48%. In the methods for this presentation, in 2013, we developed an administered a survey by internet to assess reporting of the standard operating procedures for the treatment of gonorrhea in Latin America with support of the ALAC STI members. To this objective, review the national guidelines for gonorrhea treatment of 14 countries, Bolivia, Peru, Argentina, Colombia, Chile, Paraguay, Brazil, Uruguay, Panama, Costa Rica, Guatemala, El Salvador, Nicaragua, and Honduras. Only first choice treatment were reviewed as described in their guidelines. As you can see, this is the all countries participate in this survey, and this is the countries respond to the survey. Some results of this applied of survey, including the manuals, guidelines in all Latin America countries. You can see in Bolivia, Peru, Argentina, Paraguay, Guatemala, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Honduras, they are still using as the first selection treatment ciprofloxacin, 500 milligrams. In other countries, ceftriaxona, 250 milligrams, for example, Chile, Brazil, Panama, and Costa Rica. And cefixime, other countries, how Colombia and Uruguay. Of the results of this survey is 67% of countries of the Latin America still using ciprofloxacin as the first selection treatment for NG. You can see the ceftriaxona is 28% and cefixime is 14%. Some conclusions we can say Most countries in Latin America are using ciprofloxacin as first choice to treat gonorrhea in spite of high levels of resistance to this therapy reported. Studies of gonorrhea resistance to antibiotics made in Peru and Argentina found between 35 to 48 resistant to ciprofloxacin. No Latin America country used the latest CDC recommendations. The CDC recommendations say ceftriaxone 250 milligrams and 1 gram of azithromycin or azithromycin more cefixime. Few countries in Latin America have changed their standard treatment of NG and published about drug resistance during the last years. Only a few countries recommended that patients return 1 week after the treatment completion for a repeat culture or test of cure. Brazil is a populous country with high geographic and economic diversity. Despite its medical centers of excellence, antimicrobial resistance poses a major therapeutic challenge, but they don't have a surveillance systems for NG. Some challenges. Recently, a new high resistance strains of NG resistance have been identified, H041. This new strain NG resistance to antimicrobials previously recommended to first-line treatment and has demonstrated capacity to develop resistance to the extended spectrum cephalosporin and ceftriaxone, the last remaining option for first-line empiric treatment of gonorrhea. Also has reduced sensitivity to azithromycin but maintain sensitivity to spectinomycin. An era of untreatable gonorrhea may be approaching, which represents serious problem to public health. But maybe we have some potential options for treatment. The Dr. David Lewis and Dr. Unemo and collaborators, they publish some studies, and the most significant recent finding has been the emergency of extensive drug resistance for gonorrhea is characterized by very high ceftriaxone's MIC. From cefixime to high dose ceftriaxona as first-line anti-gonococcal therapy has been accompanied by a reduction in the prevalence of oral ESC-resistant gonococcus. Azithromycin given in combination with either gentamicin or hemifloxacin has been shown to be an effective alternative anti-gonococcal therapy. Both ertapenem and solitromycin have good in vitro activity against ESC-resistant NG strains. Only future possible strategies, treatment options for the future will be discussed based in the scientific evidence. The estimated incidence of new gonorrhea cases is increasing, and the antimicrobial resistance profile of NG is worsening. The Latin America and the Caribbean country should be implement the epidemiological surveillance of NG resistance and change the guidelines based on the results of gonorrhea surveillance. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to thank all the speakers, and Are there any questions for some of the speakers?
David Trees, CDC, and I guess this one's for Pam. As far as your issues with shipping, have you ever thought about lyophilization? I know there's an initial higher cost, but then you have them and you can just rotate them through your PT cycle. And we would have done that for years with at CDC. And they store for years.
Maybe the speakers want to come up to the front so they can access the microphone. Yeah, that would be nice.
So I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying. So you say you send a whole bunch of strains, like let's say, you know.
I mean, for you know, I'm a former just PI at CDC. I moved forward on that. But we used to have all our cultures, we used to have large-scale lyophilization of all those. And whenever it came for a PT or a QC cycle, you would just take the ones you wanted and what groupings you wanted, you'd label them accordingly to for a new code,
right.
And you could ship those out. I mean, they can go at room temperature or even on a cold pack, and they'll go all over the world.
Oh.
And we have procedures for pulling them out that have been good and working for years.
Okay.
That we can provide if you need, if you want to look into that option.
I would definitely like to look at it. Thank you.
My name is Denver Mund from Vanderbilt University. I wonder if the speakers, maybe all of you, could comment on the policy issue of cost. In other words, we've got these substantial challenges, and the last speaker commented on the survey results. National guidelines are using the wrong drugs. We have surveillance gaps, but we certainly know enough from surveillance that is being done to suggest alternative strategies, and a couple were mentioned, the ceftriaxone option and, of course, the azithromycin in combinations as a couple of them. And I'm just curious about, is it a lack of responsiveness among ministries and sort of the entropy of the sort of getting policies changed? Is it a challenge of a structural challenge, or is it simply that the money isn't there to make these new investments? I'd really love to hear your views.
So I think there'll be several views. I'm sure Patty's going to have some, and Freddie will also. In the first phase of the GASP, people were using amoxicillin with probenecid for treatment, right? And the GASP results showed that most of the isolates were resistant. And somehow the issue of PPNG really engaged authorities, and most countries changed their treatment guidelines, I'd say, within a couple years of receiving that information. But it's been much slower on the uptake with respect to ciprofloxacin resistance. First of all, a lot of people are actually unaware of the data in terms of on-the-ground workers. And it's been very hard to develop the policy or to bring together the policy machinery in some of the countries. Although independent physician groups are starting to do that in some countries, and they recently did it in Colombia. So I'll stop there, and maybe Freddie wants to. Well, there's a representative from PAHO. He was here. And yes, PAHO, we'd like to see some advocacy there, and it's definitely discussed. Freddie, do you want to add? Patty?
Yeah, I was having a question, but I can add something instead. I think it's a multifactorial issue, really.
Yeah.
So the first one is awareness. I would have taken a picture of the director of the national program when we showed them the article. So we translated the articles that had to do with antimicrobial resistance for the Latin American Association, that we brought the article in Spanish, and he was like, wow, I didn't know that. We have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the faces of all the people from the STD clinics at this big meeting when we were talking about resistance, you were there, Joan, right? So it was a surprise, a complete surprise, because, I mean, one thing is what is happening in the scientific mm-hmm. arena, and the other thing is what happens in the real world, right? So one was lack of awareness. The second thing is, although right now, for example, they they have the commitment for change the policy, the systems to change policies or guidelines. I mean, it may take 2 years to do that,
yeah,
because now we have guidelines to do guidelines, and they have to be reviewed by 25 different people. So they haven't, they have made the changes, and now they have to wait for the process. Even if PAHO does something, this is within the countries. And the third thing is a big issue, okay? It has to do with the economy, what you said. So now, if we don't use Cipro, we were having in the country, in Peru, for example, 72 different types of ciprofloxacine. And thanks to that, the prices of ciprofloxacine went down, so it's very cheap. But now if we want to use ceftriaxone, ceftriaxone, there are only three, okay? And they're expensive. Plus, that means an injection. And there are two separate systems to buy medications and to buy injections. And that's the problem we have with syphilis. Sometimes we have penicillin, there are no injections or no syringes. And sometimes there are penicillin syringes, but there are no needles because there are different tracks to buy things. Plus now, I heard from some of the policymakers saying, thanks God they are reading somehow. So like, well, but we're going to change to ceftriaxone, but I have heard that there is also resistance to ceftriaxone, so what are we going to do? We better do nothing. So the confusion, lack of awareness, political problems, economical problems, and implementation problems. You know how difficult it's going to be to use ceftriaxone? I don't think we're going to be able to do so. So actually, I feel that we are kind of stuck. And cefixime is not available in all Latin American countries.
Yeah.
So that's another problem. And I wanted to ask you a question, Freddie. When you were reviewing the guidelines, it will be interesting to know, because I think most of the guidelines refer not to the treatment of gonorrhea, but to the treatment of syndromic management. So when you were reviewing syndromic, so it will be urethral discharge syndromic management and
yeah,
vaginal discharge syndromic
yeah
management. So my question is, did you find in some of these guidelines the specific for gonorrhea treatment, and was it the same? So for gonorrhea was also the same type of treatment, or they were just referred to syndromic management?
Yeah, this is good questions. To the first point is very interesting point, because as Patricia said, the process to change in the guidelines include a new antibiotic is very long. As you know, in Argentina in 2011, they find 48% of resistance to ciprofloxacin. But in this moment in Argentina, they are still using in the guidelines ciprofloxacin. As you see, the procedure is very long time. In Honduras, for example, in Honduras only 1 month ago, including the treatment, azithromycin. And I think we don't have good relation the scientific evidence to include in the guidelines. Maybe we need promote the participation of other actors, for example, WHO, PAHO, and others, to move very fast or more rapid the inclusion in the guidelines, the information based in evidence. Some countries need not accept only the other studies of the other countries or published in USA, need evidence in the country. And this is more difficult. The second, Patricia say, many guidelines have in the guidelines only syndromic management. For this review, use only the treatment specific for NG, for Neisseria gonorrhea. They have other guidelines, syndromic management, for example, for urethral discharge, use Cipro, more azithromycin. When we don't have this information, we ask by internet only for gonorrhea, which is the norm, which is the guidelines. They say this is ciprofloxacin, ceftriaxone, or cefixime. Okay, this is other point.
More questions? Speakers?
Well, thank you all so much. I think that was a fantastic symposium. So thank you all so much, and have a good afternoon.